Well, this morning I would like to share with you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. Fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." Then when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, for now on you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. It's an interesting story, and it seems, without looking at the context, that this was the first meeting of Simon and Jesus. But it wasn't. Jesus had taught in the synagogue at Capernaum, and during the service he healed a demon-possessed man, and the crowd was in awe. Followed the time in the synagogue after the service, Jesus was invited by Simon to his house. And there they found Simon's mother-in-law with a high fever. And Jesus healed her. And he healed many other people as well. So now, sometime after this meeting of Simon and Jesus, Jesus was strolling along the lake, and he was preaching at the same time. And the story tells us that nothing happens by chance. And just as Simon experienced a failure at fishing, now comes an opportunity that Jesus uses to preach the word, not only to the people, but demonstrates his word to Simon. He takes the ordinary, everyday event of walking along the lake, and he takes the ordinary people, fishermen, he takes ordinary fishing boats, and it becomes a setting for an unbelievable, miraculous happening. In the other Gospels, they actually give you the number of fish that they had caught. Ordinary setting, extraordinary miracle. And it takes place at a time of failure. Peter had fished nothing Then all of a sudden, out of the inadequacy and failure of Peter, comes this ordinary, extraordinary miracle of the fish caught. I think out of this whole story, there's something important to note. And it's true of every instant in the Gospel and also in the New Testament, that when we encounter Jesus, we will never be the same again. It's not possible. No one can meet Jesus and walk away unchanged. I think as we take a look at many of the stories in the New Testament, we find this as true. No one who witnessed Jesus' words or his miracles went home unchanged. No one. And when it comes to responding to God's command, more often than not, you and I fall flat on our face. As we witnessed this last week, and I don't want to glorify Mr. Kirk up to the level of Jesus, but here was a man who stood for his faith. And it wasn't his political views. It was nothing else but his faith that got him killed. And too often, you and I stand like little potted plants rather than giant forest trees, stunted Christians that live off the surface roots of God's grace. And perhaps like the disciples in their relationship with Jesus, we are fishing in shallow water. And in my experience, fishing in shallow water in the morning or in the evening is when you catch fish. But shallow water has its downfall. I can remember when I was in high school, I belonged to what no longer exists, Walther League. And we had two groups of Walther Leaguers. There was a senior group, and then there was a junior group. And during the summer, one would invite the other to a swimming party. And we'd go to places like the old swimming pool over at Owatonna. It used to be a gravel pit. And we went over to Northfield, to their swimming pool. But I remember most of all Owatonna, because I didn't know how to swim. And there's nothing that impresses other girls than wading in the water with the little kids. And so there were 2 weeks between that experience and the experience at Northfield. And I was determined to learn how to swim. My dad showed me how to dog paddle. That's also impressive. But at least I wasn't wading in the water. I was actually swimming. And I got so brave that I swam out to the diving dock. And I climbed the ladder And then I went over to the edge and I looked down and I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding. There were two choices. One was to go back to the ladder and climb back down. But that wouldn't work because there were so many kids going over to the ladder and climbing up. So the other option, which wasn't my first choice, was to dive. I didn't know how. And so I plugged my nose and I dove feet first. And that is the first time my whole life flashed before my very eyes. Because I didn't take a deep breath before I hit the water. And so when I got to the bottom of the dive, I was thinking, it's time to breathe. But I couldn't. And it seemed like I went down with the Titanic. The top of the water was so far away. And I had to breathe. Finally, I reached the surface. And I said, right then and there, I won't do that again. It's the shallow water that is important for a number of reasons, but the problem with shallow water is that we get used to it. We don't venture out any further than our neck and for sure our nose so that it can be above the water. I discovered that was very important. And the other thing is, I was in control. I was doing things in my own strength. When I was at the bottom of that dive, I was literally in the Lord's hands. And that was a good thing. Because when we stay in the shallow, we're able to do things in our own strength, in our own wisdom, and in our own ability. It's when we step out in the deep water that we give up our own strength and depend on our swimming skill. And it's like when we settle down in the shallow water of life and faith, it's a life of weakness. We get comfortable and we settle down. It's sort of fruitless and we're impotent spiritually. There's really nothing wrong with shallow water. You've got to go through the shallow water to get the deep stuff. But even today, when people say, we went on an ocean cruise, I'm saying, good for you. Unless I can swim there, unless I can walk there, you're not going to get me on a big ship. So you know what that means. I'm not going on an ocean cruise. That one dive was deep enough. And of course, I've seen the movie Titanic. But if we don't go to the deep and leave the shallows, we will never experience the power. powerfulness of God. We will remain ineffectual, but we don't have to stay there. I didn't want to stay there because I wanted to impress the girls. But I have learned how to swim the breaststroke. I'm not coordinated enough to do the other strokes, but the breaststroke I got. And I can go a long ways doing that. And I'm proud of myself. I can stay above the water. Jesus wants to take and give us a push and to challenge the level of our stability and comfort to a place where we are totally dependent upon Him. He takes us out into the deep water where we can't depend on ourselves. And that's an important lesson. It's a lesson that Peter learned. Dallying in the shallow water, where perhaps the fish would come in, he had to go to the deep water, and he discovered God's hand in his nets. A miraculous thing that took place. The number of fish is unbelievable. I am sure if the game warden came by, Peter would have been arrested. But from the old life, the old ideals, the deeper life of following Jesus Christ is so important. How many of us would give up our life for our Savior? We think Christians around the world are being persecuted. They're being persecuted right here in this country. It is in the deep that we no longer know Jesus just as a friend. That is where we learn, learn to know Him as our Lord and Savior. It's in the deep water that we have to have total commitment. You know, everything wasn't hunky-dory with Peter. We read the rest of the story. There were many times of imperfections for Peter yet to come. Even after the day of Pentecost. But it is a matter of taking ourselves off of the throne of our life and placing Jesus there and enthroning Him there. We must, as Christians, put off into the deep and grab hold of faith with all we have. And it's grabbing on to Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross and the forgiveness that He gives to us by fighting Him to stay in the shallow. For He not only forgives us, but He reconciles us to God Himself. And He adopts us into His own family. He calls us brothers and sisters. This Jesus, who just happens to be strolling along, wants to challenge us to leave the shallow and to come with Him into the deep, to commit ourselves anew each and every day to Him, to experience the miraculous power that he has to change our lives and to change the lives of others through us. Amen. And may the peace of God that is above our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.